Welcome to the Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I am not Lucy.
Oh, you're right. We'll just upload a computer virus into the mothership.
I was going to do my living room like this.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to, as agreed off air, Gatecast episode 91.
Yes, I'm a number, not a name. In this case, it's always number first. Hello, everybody.
On a, well, certainly this side of this country, very bright and slightly cumulocumulus, fluffy cloud evening. With not a hint of black.
Oh, yes. With the weather report.
Where would we be without the weather report? I'll tell you where we'd be. We'd be at 43-minute episodes. That's where we'd be.
Quite right. We're blessed living in countries with very variable weather. Literally variable within the day.
Within an hour.
Yeah, how boring would it be to be, you know, 30 degrees all year round or minus 30 all year round?
As the late great Bill Hicks used to say, I like to go to New York just for the weather. Every day, hot and sunny. Los Angeles. Reptiles. All due respect to Bill himself.
Hello, I'm Jeannie.
And I'm Nikki.
And I'm Rachel.
We host the Tyrion's Landing podcast, where we talk about HBO's Game of Thrones.
It's like Knots Landing without the shoulder pads, but with twice the backstabbing. And for those of you too young to know, Google is now your best buddy.
So join us here at Tyrion's Landing as we break down the episodes, discuss our reactions, and give you the skinny on news of the cast and crew. And don't miss our Jason Momoa chest spotting.
So I tweeted or posturist about the excellent deal I got on emphasis on the word X.
Oh, yeah, blurred picture of the X-Men.
Oh, were the prices not visible?
I squinted a bit. I still couldn't make it out.
I walked into HMV after getting my final measurements because I'm doing groomsmen on Friday week for my mate. I saw X-Men Quadrology, first three movies and Wolverine. I thought, okay, if I cut out movie number three, it's still worth it for £12, because I quite enjoyed the Wolverine one.
Not so much as that I want to own it.
Along with X-Men 1 and 2, if you didn't own any of them for £12.
Well, yeah, sometimes there's prices that you think, oh, even if I didn't watch it once or twice over the next 12 months, money well spent.
And then I thought, hang on, if the DVDs are £12, do they have them on Blu-ray? And they had the full Blu-ray box set reduced from €80 to €23. I thought for £23, I'd buy the first two movies as a box set. I quite like Wolverine. I can, if I get drunk enough, I can probably stand X-Men 3. But I thought that were a good deal. To be honest with you, I'd have paid £23 for them on regular DVD if I saw the box set for that. The fact that I got it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, even better.
Yes, I suppose so. The X-Men thing were all two discs, both Blu-ray editions, with the exception of Wolverine, which were one. So I was quite happy with that.
That's all you can ask for.
At the rate I'm currently watching stuff, I'll probably get to around 2017 or so.
Yeah, that is the only drawback.
But the point is, I'm making a point to buy Blu-ray if I can, and it's reasonably priced. I'm trying to avoid buying standard DVD.
Yeah, it's that reasonably priced. That's very important to me as well.
Which is why I'm refusing to buy Walking Dead, because even online, it's still €32.
Yeah, and it's six bloody episodes.
Is it six? I thought it were 13. Is it just six?
No, it's only six, first season.
After that.
Yeah.
I went to HMV thinking it might actually be cheaper, they might have a deal, but no, €36 in HMV. And I went, thank you very much for X-Men, I'm leaving now.
That's the same with Stargate Universe. I wasn't paying £50 for 20 episodes. Even 20 episodes of Smallville or Supernatural were only £40. It's, you know, £10 out of, just for the sake of it. You have to draw the line somewhere.
The line is drawn here, this far, no further.
Well, actually, it's about £15. That's where the first line gets drawn. And then afterwards I think, well, if I wait another couple of months, it'll be £14, £13. I know, under tenner, I'll buy something. If it's under a tenner, then, you know, £6. Because you see Blu-rays now are under a fiver.
Again, Zavi, I got Zombieland for a tenner.
If there's a bargain there and they don't charge you before shipping, you're not going to lose out.
I actually checked Amazon out as well as Play and CDWow, and they were like, they were £32.99 without delivery.
Yeah.
Play were £32.99. I tend to avoid Play because their packaging is shit.
Mm.
And I've had so many DVDs, especially TV box sets, damaged by Play. But I am patiently awaiting September so I can order season 6 of Supernatural.
Well, season 5 hasn't dropped to a reasonable price yet.
Oh, I pre-ordered season 5 in June of last year.
I've no idea if base ship outside the UK. They may do because I think they serve Germany and France. But every now and again, I have an absolutely fantastic deal on the Blu-ray. space.com.
Thanks to you, I own BSG on Blu-ray for 100 quid, and it's gone back up to 130.
Sometimes it's a case of just being on the right website at the right time.
I gave my dad his Father's Day present because he was just gone to bed before I hopped on train back home yesterday, and I said, look, because my friend Denise works in a sorting office and she has told me repeatedly never, ever, ever send cash to the post.
Reasonable.
Well, no, there's a fair to middling chance that it won't actually get there. I believe that machine which you pick up the metal strip and it out, and they will actually rip it open and thieve it. Charming as that might seem.
There was a... What was it? It was a stand-up comedian or something who was going on about when he was a kid and we sent...
Postal orders.
Oh, he sent a letter to Father Christmas asking him for £5 to buy something. And the postman got it, you know, and they thought, oh, nice kid, nice letter. So they had a whip round, came up with about £4 and sent it back. And the lad got it £4. And he said, thieving bastards, the postman's nicked £1.
Charming, as always. Oh, God, remember this one. It's not a great one, is it?
No.
And I have to eat. I better record episode 91.
91. You didn't put the name in. That always helps.
Yes, I did.
Ah, just checking.
It's just my standard sort of initially starting to record tweet. That's Facebook saying I have a new message.
Bloody hell.
Even though, well, now, for some reason, I can't seem to turn it off. The notification for Facebook messages is Jesus of Suburbia by Green Day.
Mine just goes bing.
If I don't actually tap it and acknowledge the messages come in, it will play the entire song, which is 9.5 minutes long. That's not good for the battery life.
No, it isn't.
Okay, you can leave this in. We've actually, before we even start officially recording, we have Spatterson GWC tweeting us saying, you guys do realise that the episode numbers aren't that important, other than for harassment value anyway.
Well, I was going to say, what would we do without them? It's half the podcast arguing over the number. And that's the only bit I include. We're another half an hour arguing off air about the number.
I think that's a sign, given that we've actually been tweeted.
Oh, yeah, that's working. Thank you. Thank you very much, Spatterson.
No, I think we should probably start.
Yeah, we'll start.
I got to squeeze in food between this recording and continuing to watch Game of Thrones.
Continuing?
Yeah, in deference to Sean, we didn't watch the end of it last night.
Oh, okay then. I didn't watch it Monday night, so I had to kind of duck and dive the spoilers.
Well, I were in Dublin Monday. Obviously, there aren't any spoilers for me. I've read 4 books. It'll be at least 5 or 6 years before I get a spoiler.
Yeah, of course. That's a good point, isn't it? Yeah.
Nice reply. Okay. I should probably queue up the episode. That would be an idea, wouldn't it?
It always helps. I say, feel free to have it a bit louder if you can't totally hear it very well.
Well, the mic isn't omnidirectional, but I don't think it's quite unidirectional either. It's sort of some bastardized version in between the two. At too loud?
Nope.
Well, I'm going to reduce it slightly because if I leave it at that level, I won't be able to hear you.
Oh, right.
Which would rather sort of defeat the purpose of a co-host.
That's one advantage where headphones and a mic help.
Right. Shall we?
Yep, good to go.
So, Lion is duly head-cocked and what looks like rather painful jaw-stretching motion.
How many takes that to do for that Lion? Imagine filming him. Is he going to roar yet? Poke him, Bill. Poke him.
Weren't that a Billy Connolly thing? I could go up to the Lion and irritate him slightly. South African big game hunter with assistant. Just irritate him a little. Anyway, if I might, countdown.
Yep.
Trois, deux, un, go. And fade. I don't think I even read the teaser.
Whoa.
Explosion.
Loud and explosive opening.
Well, lots of orange.
Misses, anyway.
Like flitting by.
Oh, I like the way the gate... You could only see the gate until the explosion.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Oh, it does light it up nicely.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
I'm glad they have so many. Ooh, that's really not a good idea. In fairness now, if they're running, why didn't they grab that and spin it round?
Yeah.
Let's use that.
Tyler's hit two and we're cut off, so get the hell out of here.
We can hold the gate!
Negative.
Oh, that was a bit weak, that was... It makes you wonder, how have they got themselves into this predicament?
Probably him.
Could be, yeah.
You know, it's all his fault. The ghouls are hunting him.
Oh, look at that. Look at this, I'm sliding down in me armour.
Yeah. That actually looked a bit awkward. I wonder how many takes that took. Alter! Yay! And unnamed female tech. You want to close the blast doors?
Why are they standing there? The fire could come through there.
Yeah.
Report, Major.
We were attacked by several Jaffa. Lieutenant Tyler went down covering our six, and Colonel O'Neill went back for him.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to return to the planet immediately, General Hammond.
Hold on. Who's Lieutenant Tyler?
And the audience goes,
huh? Not just the audience.
You assigned him yourself last month, sir.
Puzzled frowns all around.
Tyler, sir, we've been training him for weeks. This was his third mission.
Major, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Everybody's thinking, did we miss that? Was he mentioned in another episode?
Indeed. Ah, written by our rapidly favourite writing team.
Ah, Joseph and Paul.
Rather a weak episode by their standard.
Well, there's a story behind that. They were actually asked to write an episode. They had 3 weeks' notice, and he couldn't use any of the existing sets, or, well, he could use the existing sets, couldn't build any new sets. And this was kind of a little idea they'd had, and they actually managed to bring it to fruition, only because the CGI department said they could do it. So you can forgive a lot of the writing, but the results, as we will find out, were not spectacular. Directed by Peter DeLuise, of course.
And shown?
July 21st, 2001.
That's my research monkey. Although, did they say that in the commentary? Because you always seem to know when it was shown.
Any database has a date on it.
Fair enough.
This Tyler, of course, is played by Dion Johnson, who has been in, or will be in, 9 episodes of Stargate SG-1.
Lieutenant, can you walk? Try.
Yeah, like I say, he normally plays Shaka, the Eunice.
Oh, right.
So it's refreshing for him not to have a ton of makeup on.
Admittedly, not having 3 tons of latex on is probably helpful.
General Hammond, we must return to the planet immediately.
No one's going anywhere until I find out exactly what happened.
Colonel O'Neill and Lieutenant Tyler were cut off from the gate. I already told you, sir.
And I'm telling you, I've never heard of this Lieutenant Tyler.
How can you say that?
Ooh, the general's not messing about.
The general is actually ticked off.
We'll leave that up to Dr. Frazier.
General, Jack is trapped on that planet.
Sergeant, escort them to the infirmary.
With or without reinforcements, we are going back, sir.
The hell you are. Relinquish your weapons. Airmen! Major Carter, I will authorize the use of force unless you relinquish those weapons immediately.
Although, can you imagine, if they started firing now, everybody would be dead. Except perhaps the general, because nobody's pointing the gun at the back of Tilk. Well, at this stage, you think they've dealt with alternate realities, time slips.
Copies.
Yeah, he's probably totally right taking these precautions.
Cloaking devices, which made people appear to be other people. That's a nice set.
It is. They actually built this on location.
I thought they couldn't build any new sets.
On the studio sets. There was no space. All he wanted was a wall for him to hide behind, and the art department and the...
Went a bit mental.
Went crazy. Yes, they went crazy. They had to get it right, though, because when you think about it, this wall, this structure, is going to be off the show.
How's the leg? It's no problem.
What were I going to say there? My brain has gone wonky.
Well, this is an opportunity for Jack to really come into his own. Surrounded by enemy, low on ammunition, wounded comrade. This is the good old Jack.
Did he say he was low on ammo?
Well, he'd be low on ammo because he only got the ammunition he carries with him. And he's already used a good portion of that. If they went to this planet on a combat mission, they would have extra, but there's nothing to indicate that they expected to meet resistance.
And resistance is futile.
defendable until Major Carter returns.
Yeah, Major Carter and a whole lot of her friends.
Colonel, you could have made it to the gate. You came back for me.
Yeah, Lieutenant Tyler should know Jack always goes back.
I guess I'm grateful.
Yes, I'm hearing implied quotation marks there, you know, Lieutenant Tyler.
Yeah.
A ton of paperwork.
Is that the reason?
Paperwork.
He's asking questions about things that a normal human, a normal member of the military would understand.
My way of deflecting attention from my own obvious heroism.
Question marks.
And certainly a member of SG-1, even after only 3 weeks, would understand.
Yes.
All right. I understand.
Right.
Now that's nice, an actual practical puddle effect projected onto the gate, well, within the gate.
Mm. It's a bad burn, but a symbiote should take care of it.
You mean they're flickering light?
Yeah.
Any word from Colonel O'Neill?
We've been trying to raise him using the MALP as a relay, but apparently it's been disabled.
Well, I've completed my preliminary exams of Major Carter, Teal'c, and Daniel, and so far I've found nothing wrong with them. I mean, they're obviously agitated, but that's understandable given the circumstances.
Doctor, three of my people have just come back from a mission talking about a lieutenant who doesn't exist. You can't tell me there's nothing wrong with
it. I can't explain it, sir.
Probably very cheap to do and very effective.
Don't they know how many CGs?
When you get a direct shot, yeah. But obviously, it's expensive to put it in.
Hmm.
There's never been a Tyler in this command.
Yes, sir, and we're still waiting for test results.
In the meantime, I want them quarantined in the infirmary.
Already done that, sir, as a precaution. But they did insist I ask what you're going to do about Colonel O'Neill.
If SG-1 has fallen under some kind of an alien influence, anyone I send back to the planet would be compromised as well. Till we know exactly what's going on, P7S441 is off limits.
Yes, sir.
Peter joked that he set these two up here with the instructions. This is where a romantic relationship starts to bud.
What?
Exactly. This is how I want you to play it. Peter does have fun on his commentaries.
Yeah.
You're right, General.
So we're abandoning Colonel O'Neill after writing him off for dead at least 5 times?
Will you never learn, General?
Why would General Hammond say he doesn't remember Lieutenant Tyler?
I don't think he's just saying it. I think he really doesn't remember.
Well, how can that be? Yesterday we were all in the briefing room for 2 hours going over the mission.
I do not believe General Hammond would lie to us.
So what, he's suffering from some kind of amnesia? Or?
Well, if that's the case, they're all suffering from it. I mean, Dr. Frazier didn't seem to remember him either.
Perhaps General Hammond is correct. Perhaps there is something wrong with us.
Yes.
You know, characters uncharacteristically emotional.
Well, she cares. Coupled with probably the confusion over Tyler.
Yes.
This is where they explain all the possibilities to the audience that haven't caught on yet.
Because the Daniel Jackson in that reality never joined the SGC.
Right. So what if this is a reality where Tyler never joined? Or maybe he was killed in an earlier mission. Maybe he was never even born.
I don't know, Daniel. I mean, there was nothing on 441 that even remotely resembled a quantum mirror.
Perhaps the Stargate malfunctioned.
Well, we've never had any evidence to suggest that the gate can access a parallel universe.
If Lieutenant Tyler does exist in this reality, there would be a record of him in the base computer.
Yes.
I mean, if it were a simple case of Jack got left behind, you know, the General probably wouldn't even be considering anything. He'd be organising a rescue mission. So the fact that he's not only is confusing to them, but the added factor of Tyler just blows their mind.
Mm.
Well, blows their minds, not Teal'c's. He's still the same old Teal'c.
Good point.
Yep, that's happened before. Keep running through every suggestion, guys.
Yeah, because let's face it, you're writing under a deadline, so you just... This is the writing equivalent of counting in a rock song.
Oh, he's well equipped. Where the hell does he carry all that from?
That does not imply low on ammo.
Is that what Jack carries around with him all the time?
All right, well, we still got 4 mags, 2 clips, a little C4, some grenades and a launcher.
Maybe they left the rest of the supplies there when they legged it.
An in-show spoiler. Half of that is imaginary. Jack only thinks it's there.
There's no record of a Lieutenant Tyler on active duty at the SGC.
That's impossible.
Well, even day pass visitors are logged in. There is no way he could have been on the base and not be in the computer. I configured a search for the name Tyler anywhere in the database. Nothing.
Well, obviously someone is wrong here. Could it be us?
I think we have to admit the possibility.
In either case, O'Neill remains in danger.
That's a bit worrying, isn't it? Someone can access the SGC computers externally. That level of security access.
It's a valid user ID.
Yeah, but still. I'd hope it were a closed system.
Suppose it's supposed to be a closed system, but...
Yeah.
You know what it's like.
Unfortunately, there's no greater meaning to 4574. Yeah, kind of missed the opportunity there, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
Over the past 2 weeks, he's accessed a number of secure files. Mission logs, briefings, personnel files.
Whose personnel files?
Ours.
1701, that could have been interesting if they'd use that.
Why does that sound familiar?
Enterprise.
Oh, right.
Teal'c sounds a bit rough.
Maybe it's because of cold.
Ah. Never anybody around to shoot, is there, Jack?
I mean, usually, you know, it's like buses. You get nobody to shoot for ages.
Listen up.
We get a couple of MREs left, but we're running low of water. I'm going to check the area. Take the P90.
He's giving him a P90?
Yeah, he doesn't seem overly familiar with it.
No, he doesn't. That's exactly what I was thinking. Just wait.
Major Carter and the others should be coming soon.
Well, the truth is, they should have been here by now. Something must have happened.
Are you saying they're not coming for us?
Nope, I'm just saying it might take a little longer than we thought.
What if they never made it back?
Then General Hammond will send someone else.
How do you know?
Because, Lieutenant, we don't leave our people behind. You should know that.
Yeah, relax, guy. Whining a bit. Whining? Yes, he should.
Okay, two tweets, but nothing relevant.
Stay off the radio.
Yeah. Kind of a bit of a giveaway. Doesn't even realise that he needs to catch the radio.
Yes. Does he even have hands? I suppose if he whipped out the third hand there.
Tyler. Nice. It makes sense to use a UAV, cover a lot of ground.
Yes. So why are we sideways now? Since when do we have terminals that are sideways?
Not quite sure.
Sir, the second MALP was struck by ZAT fire shortly after reaching the planet.
Launch the UAV.
Yes, sir.
Stand clear.
UAV is airborne and beginning search pattern.
Bit of reuse footage. Peter seemed to be obsessed with shrimp from the common commissary in this episode. Every time they use a bit of reused footage, they get extra shrimp. Oh, Walter's actually flying it.
Better raise Colonel O'Neill.
SG-9er, this is Stargate Command. Please respond.
SG-9er, this is Stargate Command. Please respond.
We're still here. Over.
This is General Hammond. What's your situation?
We could use some backup, sir. Tyler's immobile and there's Jap all over.
A few years before the Predator came along.
Oh, did you see a video for the Crusher?
The what?
It's a six-wheeled, self-propelled military vehicle about the size of an SUV.
No, I haven't.
It'll go up and down a 30-degree incline.
We're without sending a retrieval team until we know more.
Well, sir, if you like, we could try sending a second UAV.
I don't know if that's a good idea, General. Those things aren't cheap.
Colonel Simmons.
I think you might want to take a look at that.
My office.
Why do we lose the signal?
They do lose a lot of UAVs. We assume that the Jaffer on the planet took it down. Now, you thought the General would have been notified he was on his way down.
Well, sir, when three members of your best team start voicing concerns about their imaginary friend, it does tend to raise some eyebrows.
Imaginary friends.
Well, put like that, it is worrying, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, I'm sure you do, but we think that a independent investigation is called for.
I bring paperwork. I'm sure. Never a good thing.
Okay, I wasn't intentionally quoting Colonel Simmons. As you all know, I don't watch the episodes beforehand.
You can use a red phone if you like, sir. But one day you're going to play that card once too often.
Colonel, I have an officer trapped off-world, and there's nothing I can do for him until I get to the bottom of this.
Well then, sir, you should welcome my help.
Smooth, yet nasty.
Far more sort of nowhere near. He's kind of a more palatable version of Mayborn.
He knows he'd get more with honey than vinegar. He understands the power he has, but he don't need to be general over the head with it. Just hint.
Whereas Mayborn's just a little megalomaniacal.
Yeah.
Oh, Dr. Jackson. Sit down. Why? Well, I thought I'd give you an opportunity to explain what happened on that planet.
I filed a report.
Yes, you did. And a very interesting read it is, full of amazing events and fictional characters.
You see the monitors in the background?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Martin Wood put them in, and they didn't get shrimp that day. Yes, Peter really did go on about shrimp in the commentary.
Okay, so we should call this the Shrimp Cast?
Yeah, once upon a time, Daniel's ideas were regarded as imaginary by some. It's a more subtle form of Kinsey interrogation, is it, really?
Yes, fictional characters.
Yeah. How convenient. You spot something after you put it in the bag, not before.
Well, yes, that way you're not going to mess up the effect.
It's like in CSI. They investigate, and then they put something in the bag, and then they go, oh, look, what's that? You thought, didn't you notice that beforehand?
Well, what irritates me about CSI from that perspective is they walk in, and they're wearing gloves. They're not wearing helmets. They're not wearing full body suits.
Yeah, they could easily get contaminated.
She just got contaminated.
Even through the plastic. That obviously must be the mission to that planet.
This is a videotape of your briefing before the mission to P7S441. I see four members of the SG-1 team. I see Dr. Frazier. I see General Hammond. But I don't see any lieutenants.
This could be any briefing.
Take a look at the time code.
You can fake a time code.
Yeah.
This is a waste of time.
Ooh.
Ooh, dear.
Yeah, Daniel, you really do have to play along.
This is an official investigation.
Oh, no, I mean, I get it. We obviously have Lieutenant Tyler issues. I mean, I say he exists. You say he doesn't.
This is not just about Lieutenant Tyler.
Someone else doesn't exist.
I'd like you to explain your relationship with Dr. Sarah Gardner.
Oh, now we get to the meat of the issue. Remember her?
Osiris. Anna Louise Plowman.
Yum.
Any excuse to have a picture of Anna Louise.
Yum, yum.
He would even have bat-lit it if he had given it half a chance.
Potential alien influences over Stargate Command. The fact that a Gould has taken your ex-girlfriend as a host has everything to do with this.
What?
Oh, Simmons. Makes sense, man.
Like I say, it's not an argument to be made when you tend to be overly judgmental yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a great grin, I'll give him that. Smirk, grin, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, he practiced it through 6.5 years of TNG.
I lost someone I care about. And not for the first time, I might add. You think that makes me sympathetic to the Ghoul?
I think that makes you someone whose judgment can be easily clouded. And for a man in your position, that's unacceptable.
You've been around long enough, Daniel, to understand what's going on.
Yeah, but it's Simmons is really going the wrong approach to this with Daniel.
Considering his experiences with Shara and really aren't going to get Daniel on this card.
No.
I need to speak to Major Carter. Thank you.
Well, you could have not. She could have been doing anything.
Well, was in the '50s, so I'm sure she's...
That bit will be cut.
She'll be making a salad. You know, I am going to check.
This Lieutenant Tyler you keep talking about, what does he look like?
African-American, mid-20s.
About 5'10",
5'11"? Oh, dear.
I'm not sure, but I think I remember him.
2 hours ago, you said you'd never heard of him.
I know. I can't explain it, but I can remember his face.
Does anyone else remember him?
I don't know.
One of the problems, dare you actually admit it in public?
Okay. Maybe something did happen to us, but you were never even on that planet.
I have to report this to General Hammond.
Janet, wait. If you come forward now, they'll start suspecting you as well. You need to find evidence.
Sam...
As long as we're locked up in here, we can't do anything to help Colonel O'Neill. It's up to you.
Put two and two together, Janet. You're smart.
Mm.
There was a mysterious compound on the uniform.
Hello, you're a bloody MD. You're not lacking in brains.
Well, if she can't shine a light into its eyes, she just doesn't want to know.
Hmm. I would like to speak to General Eastman. This is George.
I'd like to know who this man is working for. I appreciate that, sir. I need to know.
Mr. Secretary, I wouldn't be making this call if I didn't consider it a matter of the utmost importance.
Yes, I know he's in a meeting with the Joint Chiefs. Do you have any idea when he might become available?
And there we have Hammond getting ticked off with this whole Colonel Simmons thing.
All right. Thank you.
Hasn't he ever heard of Google?
Don't think Google were around back then.
It must have been something similar.
Gopher, but it weren't anywhere near as extensive. It's mostly a file search utility. Web pages weren't hugely extensive either.
Hours and hours on the phone. The bad days when you had to do your researching like that. And this was actually a real live night shoot.
Gasp.
I know.
Normally they did a night shoot in studio and just light them.
Yeah. I guess they build the location, so they might as well use it.
Can I use it?
Yeah.
We got to take the damn thing down in a bit. I mean, how long does the episode take to shoot? About a fortnight?
About 8 to 9 days, I think.
That's quite an intense schedule, considering it can take upwards of 2 or 3 hours of shooting to get 5 minutes of footage on screen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you're probably talking 14 hours. I mean, I think the B5 commented on the fact that they never went into overtime. You know, started every day at 7 or 8 and finished at 5.
That's very rare. Very, very rare.
I know. I've read the script book. Including volume 15, which has the encounter between Lando and Jakar. Brief encounter still.
Fair enough.
That's Teal'c, he can't get enough.
Fishing. Oh, God.
You spend long enough with Jack, he'll get around to fishing.
When do you think we'll get out of here, sir? Well, if not tomorrow, we'll head up into the hills and wait until the Jaffa lose interest.
Yeah, about 5-10 minutes usually.
Yeah. Fishing, beer, The Simpsons, astronomy.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Any noticeable references in this one?
I don't believe so. The only time you really have to be worried when Jack starts going about his love of show tunes.
Oh, dear. I'm surprised he isn't studying the stars. I mean, surely for somebody who's interested in astronomy, being on this many planets is a fascinating ability to observe the universe from different angles.
We're the way we are, so... There you are. Get some sleep.
Who needs a bloody telescope? You just go to the nearest planet.
Maybe so, but considering there's Jaffa right there, you'd hope that he's keeping an eye on the surroundings.
Mm.
Not up at the sky.
Tell me, Teal.
Why is this tie crooked?
How does it feel knowing you betrayed your friends?
I betrayed no one.
Either his tie or his jacket, or both, actually.
Well, he's been busy, hasn't he?
Which was occupied by SG-1 and the Tok'ra Selmak. You could have gotten them all killed.
Again, not going to work with Teal'c, mate.
At the time, I was made to believe that my time with the Tari was a subterfuge.
And now?
I am loyal to the Tari.
Teal'c is Mr. Stoic.
If I were still loyal to the Goa'uld, you would know it.
Really?
It would be immediately apparent, as I would not hesitate to kill you where you sit.
It's kind of funny. He actually got a reaction out of his image there. Not the sweat. The small grin's a little shaky, you know. Yeah. Oh, right.
The only thing keeping Teal'c in check is his duty and his honour. Mm-hmm. So you better bet on it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a pointless argument, because any member of the SGC could have been controlled in exactly the same way.
Something's coming. That's not good.
Now, this is a fantastic shot. That was really nice.
I presume they just had a little gas thing to blow up some dust.
Yeah. Yes, that's never good. What weaponry have you got, Jack?
What is it?
Collider. Stay here.
Well, I go out into the fracking, open.
Well, I suppose if you stay in the building, it's an even greater target. And what's he got? A little grenade launcher?
I think so.
Laying down fire, that's the right way to do it. Even the pilot's right there. The problem is, you really do want to hit.
Well, he's Jack. You know, sort of going, crap, why is there no eject on this thing? They didn't bother doing the explosion, they just made the noise. Cheap episode.
Well, yeah, again, more shrimp.
A shot? Where the hell did that come from?
The glider we saw leaving the area when we were checking out the crash tube transport.
Yes, kind of put that idea into Jack's mind.
Right. Anyway, it's made our position. Can you move? Not yet.
Hmm.
Yeah, you don't want to give any hint that they're actually there for this guy.
Oh, heavens no.
Little indecision on Tyler's face. I've been second thoughts.
We have a problem here, Major.
Here we have the ever-pliable Lieutenant Carter. Major General? Has she been promoted yet?
She's still the Major.
Is Lieutenant above or below Major?
Below.
Yeah.
Daniel's name doesn't appear in all of my reports. It doesn't mean he wasn't there.
Now, don't you think it's kind of odd that not a single person on this base can corroborate your story?
Yes, I do. But what difference does it make? Colonel O'Neill is still out there.
And you want us to send out a rescue team based on your word alone that he hasn't been compromised?
We'll go ourselves.
I'm afraid I can't trust you to do that. You see, Dr. Jackson's motives for being here are colored by his emotions, and they always have been. Teal'c changes sides more often than I change the oil in my car.
I think I'd say the feeling is rather mutual, Simmons.
Now, this is really making us hate Simmons, this comment about Teal'c.
You were briefly taken over as a host by the Gould. Once you fell under the control of an artificial intelligence of alien origin, the last time we met, you harbored an alien in your own home. You know, I'm beginning to wonder whether all of this might have some sort of residual effect. Because just yesterday, for example, you violated base security by trying to get into one of the mainframes. I could nail you on that alone.
You're user number 4574, the one who's been accessing our personnel files.
You don't care about Tyler. You've just been waiting for something to use against us. Who are you getting your orders from, Colonel?
This is not good.
It's sort of a clip show, isn't it? Without the actual clips. This seems to be quite deliberately, for somebody who's only come in at the start of season 5, this is an ideal show to drop somebody into.
It gives them a natural way to show they're familiar with the history.
Well, not only that, if you've never seen the show before and you want to start watching current broadcast, this was a way of introducing your viewers in. You do a nice summary of what's happened before, and then they go, ooh, I must go back and buy the other shows.
Quite sure if he ever got what he wanted out of that, because surely he couldn't have expected anything but what he got.
Yeah.
Thankfully, nobody's willing to shoot him in the back while he plants the explosives.
No, apparently not. The old claymores. No, they're C4.
A bit of C4.
That's a lot of C4.
It is rather, isn't it?
Wouldn't you be better off, unless he's got a limited number of detonators, wouldn't you be better off splitting up into smaller bits? And at the very least, if he's going to do that, he should pack some loose rocks or other nasty shrapnel-y things around it.
All right, trips are set.
You know, you increase the damage. You use what's there.
Take the 9mm. If we get into it, make every shot count.
The MacGyver music should be playing at the moment.
It wasn't the MacGyver music, was it?
No, it wasn't, but don't you think it should have been?
Do what? I cannot let you die protecting me.
Again, non-comfy with the gun.
There they come.
I mean, why do they bother with the horn? I know traditionally horns are supposed to strike fear into your enemy.
I suppose it's a bit like the US cavalry as well. Maybe a call to arms, a rally point.
Chemical on Teal'c's uniform, and I've completed my analysis.
What is it?
Well, I'm not 100% sure, but its chemical structure closely resembles cortical acetylcholine, which is a neurotransmitter that helps regulate and process human memory.
Yeah, that's easy to say, isn't it?
Yeah, many takes did that take.
Maybe doing her a disservice. Maybe she got it right first time. Save us, Janet.
Here, take a look. You see, the effect is greatest here in the temporal lobe associated with face recognition. See, I think it's possible that SG-1 encountered someone on the planet who exposed them to this compound in order to convince them that he, she, or it was somehow familiar.
We're not talking about a vague sense of recognition. We're talking about detailed memories that go back weeks before they ever set foot on that planet.
Yes, sir. And obviously their own minds provided the details necessary to complete that illusion.
Didn't your first report say that their MRIs were clean?
They were. The chemical dissipates fairly quickly.
So what's that?
That's me.
She kind of slipped that in. By the way, I saw him.
Mm-hmm. Which is probably why I experienced only a diminished effect, but this is how I figured it out.
You were exposed to an alien chemical and now you claim to have figured it out?
Now they're both thinking, do we have to lock her up as well?
Yes. Well, Simmons isn't thinking, do we have to?
Yeah. Where can we put her?
Yeah.
We can't trust her.
Where can we put her? I have access to her and offer her food and water. She might offer me sexual favours in return.
Not Janet.
No, I'm thinking Simmons. I'm thinking that's what Simmons is thinking.
No, Janet would never do that, though.
I realise that, but Simmons doesn't know that. I'm trying to put myself in Simmons' brain.
Yeah, she really didn't want him to know whose brain that was, did you, Janet?
Yeah, Simmons is in Mayborn mode now.
Depart, stage right, evil chuckle.
There was a cartoon cat that did that, or possibly a panther.
Colonel, I'm not what you think I am.
That's it, Tyler. You tell him.
I am not a member of your team. I never was. I am not even human. My race is called the Riol.
Take your position.
I exposed you to a chemical that made you think I was one of your own.
Whatever.
Of course, this is a problem when you brainwash somebody.
Yes.
You kind of convince him.
Trying to deprogram him now.
Probably not a good idea when he's going into a firefight.
It's almost healed. Would this be possible if I were human?
You get down.
I'll show you.
Oh. Looks a bit Medusa-like with the ear.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Although clearly not too Medusa-like since Jack is still human.
What the hell is that? A glimpse of my true nature.
You mean what you really look like?
It's a natural defense mechanism.
Not much of a defense, then, if they manage to capture you.
Yep.
That's why I was a prisoner of the Jafar. They were taking me to be dissected and studied. I managed to break free of my cell and damage the guidance system on the transport ship. We crashed on this planet. That's when you found me. I didn't know if you could be trusted.
You picked a hell of a time to tell me.
Please. Understand, Colonel.
Ah, that's interesting. This isn't his homeworld, then. That makes some sense.
because surely there'd be more than him.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Now, I presume this postdates the similar thing with Jonathan Frakes and the alien boy.
I do not know.
Well, didn't TNG start in the early 90s?
I don't know exactly how much they overlapped.
Mm. I'll dig out the info for you. You can put it in show notes.
That's not good.
It's C4.
Click.
Again!
They've gotten rid of at least half of them.
This fight actually went on for about 20 minutes. We're seeing only a very small portion of the pyrotechnics and the deaths.
And they're kind of thinking, we built that, and then we have to blow it up.
As a weapon expert, you know, and special effects guy, you really live for an episode like this.
Mm-hmm. And then they cut most of it out.
Well, yeah, that's true, but...
Damn it! Being edited for time.
Behind you! You could have shot him yourself, Tyler. Oh, that's not good. Well done, Tyler. Well, he didn't last long, did he?
Mm-mm.
Of course, that's a new emblem on the forehead, a new system lord.
Yeah.
Well, you've had it, Edge. Whoa!
Oh, dear.
He got hit from the back and fell backwards. Oof. Jesus.
Fairly powerful.
I'm sure Tilk's done something to his staff weapon.
Yeah.
I think we're all clear. You all right, sir?
Yeah, I like the way Jack hopped up there.
Fine.
Here, sir. Weapons.
Tilk!
This probably saved Tyler's life.
Lieutenant Tyler is not what he appears to be.
I know. He told me.
Kind of coming out of the closet when he did.
Mm-hmm.
Stand down.
Simple enough.
Indeed.
I mean, basically, if you gain Jack's trust, and I'll be honest with him, he's willing to...
Let's go.
Go a long way for you.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they're supremely confident there's no more Jafar about.
Yeah, so what are they going to do for the next 10 minutes?
Why didn't you just ask for help?
Sorry, but I couldn't take the chance. For generations, the Riol have met nothing but fear and mistrust.
Well, sure, go around tricking people.
My kind do not embrace technology. We've never been good fighters. Our ability to disguise ourselves is our only advantage.
I'm confused as to what's left to happen now. Doesn't this seem like an ending?
Yeah, they actually pointed that out on the commentary. You know, everything's been wrapped up. What more is there to do?
The impression Toto's going to get whacked.
A group of us have started a new colony on a planet in an isolated part of the galaxy. After I return, we'll bury the gate, and no one will ever hear of us again.
Now, where's Jack's gun? Where's his little grenade launcher?
Maybe he's running out of little grenades.
Clever idea. Mm. Except, of course, if System Lord pops down his little pyramid ship. And there we have why this location is named as such, Red Rock Canyon.
Mm.
The X-Files production painted the rocks red.
What?
And it's been that way ever since.
Clearly it was a biodegradable paint due to the amount of mildew on the damn thing. How did the Canadian Environment Ministry get away with that?
Probably because TV production brings in a whole lot of money and they just wanted this little area to not look like Canada.
What do we got?
We are not alone.
Oh dear.
Oh dear, yes.
Reinforcements.
Lots of reinforcements. And Jack, you could do with a shave. That's as stubbly as we've seen, Jack.
It's nicely done. He's been off base for, what, nearly 48 hours probably?
I know very few people that can get that furry in that short a time. You know, I knew a guy who'd come in clean-shaven on a Monday and have what looked like a three-week moustache by Friday.
I don't think so, Teal'c. There's too many of them.
I'll surrender. Once they have me, they'll leave. I'm the one they're after.
That's very brave of you and all, but the last thing we need is for the ghoul to figure out how you do that thing you do.
Then I won't surrender. I'll just lead them away from the gate. That'll give you a chance to get through.
You said yourself they'd never stop hunting you. And we've trusted each other this far.
Hmm.
Yeah, after all they've been through, Tyler, you don't want to give yourself up now.
You could use a little more firepower, however.
Plus, they'll shoot you, and they'll shoot SG-1 anyway, just for the...
Daniel, you stay with... What is your name, anyway?
Yeah.
We have to overemphasize the fact that he's a good alien.
Okay, Daniel, you stay with Tyler. Carter, give him your zat. Keep an eye out for patrols. Stay out of trouble.
Yes.
He's not just the kind of, you know, I'm look after number one and screw the rest of you, alien.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he's a good alien, but with no technology.
Yeah, so basically he's a sheep.
The chemical his race produces does come into play in a later episode, so there is something we gain from this meeting.
So this is a bit like that kid's race. The kid who went off to get symbiont with the invisible aliens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, similar.
I like the attitude, Teal.
Something we see once and possibly could be wrapped in a single episode, but we're getting going back.
This is all my fault. If I'd revealed myself to you from the beginning, this could have been avoided.
Well, we understand. No one's blaming you.
Please tell Colonel O'Neill I appreciate everything he's done for me.
What are you talking about?
Now, here's the thing. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If they're shy of weapons, why don't they pick apart the enemies? And why isn't everyone using a bloody staff weapon?
That glider must have travelled a mile, couple of miles over the ridge. And
that's why they didn't show the explosion, because it didn't actually blow up. That makes sense.
Luckily, the power cell didn't rupture either, so...
Mm.
Personal feelings to influence your command decisions.
How I run my command is none of your damn business.
Security of this country, sir?
This investigation has nothing to do with the security of this country, and you know it.
A nice face-to-face between the two big boys of the base. He's right. Every other week, they're compromised.
I don't know who issued your orders, Simmons, but I've got a pretty good idea.
General, with all due respect, it doesn't matter who issued my orders. What matters is that in carrying out my orders, I have found things to be very, very wrong here.
You're being used, Colonel. I let this investigation go on long enough to make a few phone calls. I learned enough to know your orders are politically motivated.
Sir, I think you're missing my point. I don't care.
This is actually the conspiracy whiffs and wafts that we've seen so far. It's starting to take shape. This isn't the NID operating behind the back. This is an organised infiltration, really.
I thought they exposed that particular conspiracy.
Oh, they did, but the NID was still around. They're not part of the military, pretty much like the CIA or NSA. You don't take them down. You may reprimand one or two, and they give a sacrificial scapegoat to get the oversight committee off the back.
I like Daniel's reply here.
Daniel.
Hey, where's Tyler?
You know, I would have asked him, but I was too busy being unconscious after he shot me with that zat you gave him, so on.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yes. I was knocked out. I'm not you, Jack.
The zat you gave him. Oh, there he is. That's where he went.
What the hell is he doing?
Diversion. Now, this was shot on a long lens to give this effect, so actually worked quite well.
To give the monocular effect?
He's trying to be a hero.
Yeah, that's never a good thing.
Especially when you... Ooh, look.
The thing is, couldn't he make himself look like one of them?
Unfortunately, he don't...
I saw about 15, your father.
Yes, there's still plenty left. Some stayed behind and some ran off after Tyler.
Hmm.
And since he's already changed himself into one of these, it won't work again, because they're ready for him.
But can't he sort of knock one of them out and change himself into one of the ones that are... That's a lot of bloody Jafar.
When they called in reinforcements, they really called in reinforcements. Oof.
Oh.
He's been watching American football, hasn't he?
You think he'd break. So why aren't they carrying... Oh, shouldn't they be carrying them tied to a pole?
And here we have an actual effective ambush by SG-1.
Yes.
Or, at this point, Tilk.
Yeah, because he's probably the only one who could lift that bloody glider thing.
Fortunate there's not a lot of recoil. Oh, this is one serious body count in this episode.
Oh, God, yeah.
They're fishing a barrel, isn't it?
We've just seen about 20 Jafar wiped out.
Whoa.
You know, they don't seem too concerned about wiping out Jafar. He started to jump before the explosion.
He did a bit.
I think there was an error around there. They said it off a little early. I'm sorry, he's not unless he's a basketball player. He can jump that high naturally. That's like three quarters of his arm. I mean, could you jump the height of your own solar plexus?
Probably not, no. Yeah, so that's a bit of a massacre.
Have you ever read the slaying stories in 2000 AD? There was talk of a salmon leap.
You're lucky you're not really a lieutenant under my command. I'd have your ass for this.
You could have escaped.
We don't leave our people behind.
But I am not one of your people.
Could have fooled me. Actually, you did fool me.
And dare you disobey orders.
Come on, let's go.
What about the Jaffa at the gate?
They weren't a problem.
Yeah, that's convenient, isn't it?
In short, we can't spare another CGI battle.
You know, before your people go and bury your gate or anything like that, you should know that not everyone you meet is going to try and hunt you down. We could be allies.
It's my decision to make, but I will tell the others what happened to you. I might just convince them that we don't have to hide forever.
Trusting, he did let him see his...
The gate to us.
Now, if I were him and I were sufficiently paranoid, I'd dial another gate.
Maybe then you can take me fishing.
Then dial where I'm from. Because I'm sure with Tok'ra help, they could look at the gate address and extrapolate based on where they were dialing from an approximate spatial coordinate for the planet, because that's fundamentally what it is anyway. It's six spatial coordinates and a point of reference. So you get the symbols, you get your point of origin, you can calculate where it is. Yes? Or has that occurred to you?
It didn't occur to me, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I think that the bond of their friendship, you know, the shared adversary.
Yeah, there's bonds of friendship, but it's still on another bloody planet.
No problem. When Tyler goes home and tells his friends, one of them's going to smack him and say, "You did what?"
Great, now we got to find a different planet.
Yeah, he did say he's going to bury the gate, but that's no defence.
No. Of course, the Jaffa were all wiped out, so I got to wonder, did any of the Jaffa have the little black balls? Don't go there.
What, the communication devices?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you for not going there.
I'm sure the listeners, a few of them will have already gone there without our help.
Anyone who's heard more than two episodes with me in them.
Right, that was The Fifth Man. What can you really say about it? Looked pretty good. Some fantastic combat sequences, special effects. They really went to town there. And if you make allowances for the fact that it was written on short notice, pretty much to fill a gap in the schedule, not too shabby. You can understand why they didn't explore Tyler's race any further, knowing the fact that it'd cost a fortune in CGI.
Well, no, they just multiple Tylers.
Well, you'd still have... That'd be silly, wouldn't it? if they went to their homeworld and everybody looked like Tyler. Bit of a cheat, that'd be.
Your point being. We've tweeted 192 times.
That's pretty pathetic, really, considering we've done 91 episodes.
Yeah, but, I mean, when did we actually start tweeting at the start and end of every episode? I'm not going to look. Okay, folks, that were The Fifth Man. Next week's episode, he said, rummaging desperately, since that's the last one in the current DVD.
Ah, yeah, indeed it is.
But I believe the blurb on the transcript site and the blurb on my American DVD box matches.
Go on, then.
Is Red Sky. SG-1 is welcomed on Katao by the planet's religious leader, who takes the reddening sky concurrent with their arrival as a sign from the gods. What he doesn't know is the reddish color's reaction caused by the wormhole, signaling the planet's impending doom.
Indeed.
On the next Stargate SG-1.
Carter, what just happened?
The team's journey to a new planet triggers a deadly solar reaction.
This planet is dying, and it's probably because of us.
But you can fix it, right?
And makes SG-1 unlikely villains.
You did this!
Now powerless to relocate an entire world.
We must face our fate bravely.
Is it obvious only to me that these people don't want help?
It will take a miracle to save a people.
Your machine does nothing.
It won't work until we launch it.
But someone vows to sabotage their plans. Richard Dean Anderson stars.
You just killed two of my men and screwed your whole planet.
On the next Stargate SG-1.
Yes, so it sounds like SG-1 almost ruined another planet. Well done, lads.
Didn't they do this already? Or maybe this is the one I'm thinking. Didn't they do the one with the comets?
Yeah, but that wasn't their fault. That happened naturally.
Ah, of course. This is the one where they accidentally dialed through the... Oh, Carter yes. overrides the safeties. Yeah, that were it. I remember now.
All coming back to you. Look at that. You won't even have to watch the episode.
Like I'm going to.
Yeah.
In fact, my constant listener has asked me not to.
Why?
She feels it ruined the spontaneity.
Oh, fair enough.
Anyway, on the subject of feed and feedback, if you have any...
Just say the word.
Open the iris.
Okay, we have some feedback this week, mostly off our Facebook page. I posted a link to an article by Dean Devlin, one of the guys behind the original Stargate theatrical release. He's talking about revisiting the franchise. Jennifer posted, "It's funny how now he's trying to get either one of these off the ground. Kasai had heard that Will Smith finally made a deal with Dean Devlin to make the sequels to Independence Day after 15 years. Even with Stargate, I feel bad that they kind of snatched the idea from him then. But if they didn't do that, we wouldn't have had our favourite SG-1 team. But now, if he decides to move ahead with this, he'd have to get a whole new cast, because the original is getting a lot older now. I mean, he still could get Spader, and Kurt has been MIA for a while now. Would be interesting to see him try." I replied, "I'd like to see a return to the original source material, but being realistic, Kurt and James, love them both, are not up to a sci-fi action movie. That doesn't mean, with the right script, there could not be strong cameos. I reckon a sequel, be it ID4, is certainly closer, more viable box office-wise." Nye replied, "Funny, because I just watched the original this weekend. I didn't realise Richard Kind was in it, as well as Atlantis." I says, "Richard, regardless of the role, always comes across as a little bumbling, even with a PhD. He was always excellent in Spin City, and even the brief role in Hereafter." Another link on the Facebook page was about Colin Cunningham's new series Falling Skies. Matthew posted, "From the little I've seen, I like the work he's doing. Very different from what SG-1 fans have experienced. Luke said, it's nice to see Colin get a new role. I replied, yep, Colin is not playing Major Davis, that is for sure. The show premieres on FX UK on the 5th at 9 p.m. Stephen, already on my Sky Plus planner. I replied, might wait and watch it in HD myself. Seen the pilot, but surprised it was picked up so quick over here. Stephen, FX always seems to pick up some good stuff. Did you ever watch a series called Charlie Jade on FX? I replied, I couldn't get into the first episode when I acquired it, but gave it another go when FX screened it. Ended up really enjoying it, and have the box set now. Stephen, I liked it a lot. It's another series that I enjoyed, and then it just disappeared. Not renewed, I guess. Finally, just the one season, but fairly well contained. Always did have issues with multinational financing and little network support from the US. We had some feedback from our Ascension episode. This was read by Adriana and myself when we recorded last week's episode.
Okay, let's see. Jennifer says, Ascension is not my favorite episode, but it was okay. I knew you guys would probably like it because it was a Sam-centric episode.
And Mike replies,
we're down with the trials and tribulations of being a strong, intelligent woman in a man's world. That was mostly coloured by the fact that Jennifer was pointing out that we don't have female guests on the show.
We have now.
We have now. And
yes.
Open invitation to Jennifer if we can arrange a time for her to join us as well.
Well, considering Adriana's 6 hours behind, Jennifer's probably like most of our listeners on the East Coast. It might be a little easier for her to get hooked in.
If we get a firm commitment from anybody who wants to, then we can try to work something out. Even if it means recording a particular episode out of order. It's better, obviously, if somebody comes to guest on the cast for a particular episode that they like.
That's the feedback for this week. As always, we welcome any feedback, and we will always try to read it out.
Come try ya!
Hi, folks, and thanks for listening, downloading, etc., etc., etc. If you need to email us, the email address is gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. If you need to find the podcast, somebody gave it to you, got it through an online subscription, we're on iTunes as Gatecast. We're also listed on Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle. If you want to leave feedback, you can record an MP3 and email it to gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave us feedback on the website, that's gatecast.phasecast.com. There is the Facebook group, which is The Gatecast. And finally, you can also tweet us. We're The Gatecast on Twitter as well. That is, certainly from a hungry co-host, more or less it.
Pretty much so, yep.
I'd like to thank you both, obviously, but I'm speaking for myself. I'd like to thank you for downloading, listening, and any and all feedback is always welcome and will be read, as I'm sure Spartans on GWC will hear in about 3 weeks.
Yes, folks, thanks for listening to Fifth Man. We'll be back next week with Red Sky. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan, Mike and Scott. Visit us at gatecast.facecast.com.